Is sport struggling to deal with its transgender policy? We know that FINA, who are the governing body of swimming, have barred transgender swimmers from women's elite events if they went through male puberty. I'm joined now by journalist Sean Ingle to discuss this. Good evening to you, Sean.
Good evening.
So, FINA, and now we heard Seb Coe from the IAAF saying that perhaps they would be doing the same thing as well. Where are we?
Well, we have a lot of sports frantically chasing around trying to find a policy that satisfies everyone, but that's proven impossible. So you have, that in the past, people thought maybe there's a magic bullet. Maybe there's a magic bullet that satisfies safety and fairness for women's sport on one hand and trans inclusion on the other. But the study seems to suggest, or they strongly suggest, that when you reduce your testosterone, you still have the retained advantages if you've gone through male puberty. So sports are reassessing, and FINA, as you say, World Athletics are looking like they're going to bar transgender women from elite female competition.
Rugby League has also joined swimming and barring transgender women from international competition as well. So this is picking up pace, isn't it?
It is, although, I've been speaking to a lot of people in a lot of sports, and there's still a lot of apprehension, still a lot of nervousness. There's still a lot of a belief that perhaps there's a way of including trans women. And cycling, for instance, they came out with a policy last Friday which asked trans women to reduce their testosterone for 2 years and bring it down to only 2.5 nanomils. But if you read their policy document, it's quite interesting. They essentially suggest that some level of unfairness might be justified in order to allow trans women into sport, which has upset women's groups and delighted trans groups, and that's the nature of the debate, of course.
I was just reading Lord Coe earlier, and it's the debate over inclusion versus fairness. He said he'd always fall down on the side of fairness. How is exclusion fair?
You're always going to exclude someone here, aren't you? I mean, that's... The Leah Thomas, the American college swimmer, was, I think, 500th best male swimmer in US college, then transitioned and became the top woman over 500 metres. She's not someone out of second place, so someone will always be excluded. I guess the starting point here is Coe would argue that the women's category needs to be protected. Look at the world 100 metre record. Usain Bolt, 9.58 seconds. For men, for women, it's 10.49 seconds. So the gap in performance is between 10 and 12%. If that gap isn't reduced when you reduce your testosterone, therefore you have to come up with other ways of doing it. And one way is to bar trans women from competing in the female category.
It's going to be a debate that's going to rage and rage, and there's not going to be a satisfactory answer, is there?
No, you're absolutely spot on. And I think also that it depends on the sport itself. So I think most people would say collision sports like rugby, they would take a deeper breath before allowing trans women to compete at elite level in the women's category. And World Rugby have indeed banned them. Combat sports such as mixed martial arts and boxing, again, we know there's some science that suggests the average male punches 162% harder than the average female. So again, that would be contentious. But some argue that in other sports, your snookers, the horse racing, etc., there are ways that you can do it that are fair and they don't have balance. So, this issue will run and run.
Okay, well, we talked about Seb Coe there, the World Athletics president, hailing swimming's decision to ban transgender women from elite female competition. Here he is speaking today.
We put our DSD regulations in place. We aligned them in 2019 with our transgender regulations, and we've always tried to find a navigable way through. But when push comes to shove, if it's a judgment between inclusion and fairness, we will always fall down on the side of fairness. That, for me, is absolutely, it's non-negotiable. And the integrity of women's sport is really, really important here. We can't have a generation of young girls thinking there is not a future for them in the sport. We have a responsibility. Many of these issues are societal, and I absolutely accept that. I don't, however, have the luxury of, I'm afraid, responding in that way. If one of my colleagues in world athletics goes through that transition, it makes not a jot of difference to their ability to do the job or the quality of the work that I'm going to get. But in sport, it is profound. Performance is absolutely, it's inextricably linked to the integrity of our sport.
What do you make to his comments there, Sean?
Well, he's not wrong. And I think actually where most people have got to now is that the science does show that when you train, even after a transition, you retain advantages in endurance and power and speed, strength, obviously height, lung size. So therefore, that advantage is there. Now, the question sports are asking is, you know, can if that advantage is mitigated a little bit, is that fair? Or actually, do you have to just say, sorry, but you can't compete in the elite women's division? Interestingly, swimming has come up with an idea of having an open category, which is very woolly and fuzzy, and we don't quite know what it means.
Well, as they say, for swimmers whose gender identity is different than their birth sex, end quote.
Yeah, so you could have transgender men who were born female and take testosterone racing against transgender women who are born male and reduce their testosterone, all competing. So I tried to get to the bottom of yesterday. I was phoning around my various women contacts, and the message I got was, we're open to all suggestions. We're going to go away, talk to everyone, and come back in 6 months' time.
There seems to be even a huge diversity between female athletes, Karen Pickering, Kate Campbell, Maddie Groves. They're even all very different opinions as to what way this should go. It just seems so muddy from every quarter.
I can't say which sport, but I was speaking to someone in an Olympic sport who made a survey of elite women athletes a few months ago, and they asked what was their opinion, and two things came through. One was that they wanted sport to be inclusive, etc., etc., etc. But at the elite level, they wanted the women to be protected. And it was, I was told it was sort of in the high 80% that favoured that view. Interestingly, the sports council here in the UK did ask a lot of women in sport why so many were reluctant to speak out on this issue on either side. And I'll just read a quote from it. It said, several female athletes suggested that although all or most athletes considered transgender athletes have an advantage if they compete in women's sport, almost no one would be brave enough to discuss this in public. So it's easier to keep quiet and acquiesce. So I think we are not getting a full range of voices because a lot of athletes say, look, it's just going to cause problems. My goal is to actually win medals, win races. I don't want to get involved in all this. So they keep their head down.
But it is a topic people are scared of talking about. I know I'm watching every word I'm saying here now before you say the wrong thing one way or the other, and it doesn't necessarily involve me, but for athletes who are involved, it's very easy just to say the wrong thing simply here.
Absolutely. And I think it's noticeable that it's mostly the retired athletes that are talking on this issue, on either side really, because again, it's much easier. If you have a contract with a big sports where manufacturer, if you know you have a range of sponsors, that's your livelihood, and why risk second that? You can very much see why people do prefer to keep their head down and move on. They have enough to worry about in elite professional sport.
All right, Sean Ingle from the Guardian. Thanks for joining us there. That is going to run and run.